I'm Diane Daniel, and you're listening to Modern HR.
When people were aware of each other's solutions intermittently, it was the best of both worlds.
Welcome to Modern HR, the podcast where business and HR leaders let you in on how they navigate today's exponentially changing talent management and HR tech landscape. In the age of Slack, always-on technology, and open-plan offices, the guiding principle of modern businesses seems to be the more collaboration, the better. So it may seem counterintuitive that taking a break from collaboration can yield great benefits, but that's just what three researchers set out to explore.
Digital communication technologies, as your readers and listeners know, have been just totally transformative for workplaces and work.
That's Ethan Bernstein, an associate professor at Harvard Business School. He, along with Jesse Shore, an assistant professor at Boston University, and David Lazar, a professor at Northeastern University, wanted to explore some colliding trends. I spoke with Bernstein and Shore about why they tackled the study, what they found, and what it means for companies in their HR departments. Bernstein sets the backdrop of the research.
So one of my co-authors on a different study, Paul Leonardi at the University of California, Santa Barbara, has done lots of work on the way in which enterprise social media like Slack and other tools have changed the way in which we can know who knows what and how we communicate them to get that information and how we just interact. So Jesse and I were really curious to see how that meshed with what we know about research on how interaction can have positive effects on individuals, how constant interaction can allow us to know what other people know, use that information to solve problems, and what we also know about the values of being isolated, which is that that allows us to produce more ideas, more innovative views, diversity in the system that might not exist otherwise. And so for us, this was a chance to see if like all these trends that are happening in the real world, where people are solving problems all the time, complex problems, actually could be related to the intermittency, not just the always-on or always-off value of interaction.
The researchers created three groups, which were tasked with coming up with a solution to a complex open-ended problem called the traveling salesman problem. There were more than 300 study participants. Here's Shore.
We showed our participants 25 cities on a made-up map, and their job was to come up with the shortest route to connect all those cities. They went from city to city so that they visit each city once and come back to the original city they started in. Now, this problem has been studied extensively in the operations research area since at least the 1930s. But it's also complex in a number of ways that make it a really interesting analogy for other real-world complex problems that an organization might face. So, for example, the individual choices you need to make while solving the problem, they're all interrelated with each other. And decisions you make about one part of the solution constrain the choices you have available in the other parts of the solution. And for another thing, there's lots of good solutions that do look very similar to each other. There's lots of ways to solve that same problem pretty well. But the flip side of this is getting from a pretty good solution to a really good solution usually means totally reconfiguring your choices.
One-third of the subjects could see their group members' solutions at every round, one-third worked alone and never saw other solutions, and one-third, the intermittent group, were able to see other solutions every three rounds. Shore again.
Working together all the time produced a high average solution quality, but the best solution tended to be somewhat mediocre. Working apart produced a low average solution quality because a lot of the ideas just were no good. But the best solution a group found tended to be excellent. But in that intermittent interaction condition, we found something remarkable. When people were aware of each other's solutions intermittently, it was the best of both worlds. People learned from each other, so it was a high average solution quality, like when people work together all the time. But people also had time to explore on their own, so the best solution that they found was excellent, like when people worked separately. The other thing we found was being exposed to diverse solutions meant that even leading players had something to learn from their peers.
In other words, the study found that working together produced a high average but a mediocre best. Alone had a lot of low-quality ideas but produced some superior ideas. And even the best players learned something because they were exposed to variety. The study also looked at what the researchers called stored solutions, where participants could load their best previous solution with the click of a mouse. Sure again.
And we find that this actually also really dramatically reduced exploration. So when you're always aware, you know, like the best I've ever done is, you know, XYZ, it's really hard to stray too far from that.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes straying too far from that is necessary to find a really great solution. As I mentioned earlier, a good solution and a great one might not look that similar to each other.
So what should businesses and their HR leaders learn from the collaboration study? Bernstein, who comes from the organizational behavior discipline, says,
here at HBS, I teach a course called Managing Human Capital, in which we talk about managing others' human capital, how we want others to manage our human capital, and then how we manage our own human capital. As we become more and more connected, those things start to overlap more and more because we're never really managing ourselves, quite frankly. We're just always responding to, for example, the mobile phone I have on my desk, the three screens of computer I'm looking at right now, and perhaps other things that might come my way through text or social media to the extent that they can through my iPad. It's quite extraordinary the degree to which we are capable now of being always on. And that means that I'm actually being managed more by others than I'm managing myself. So even if I think that, for example, I might benefit from stepping back and taking a little bit of time to think on my own, I'm more likely to respond to the ideas and the solutions that come my way through digital means. And honestly, responding to them is more often than not going to think, oh, that looks like a good idea, and I'll just copy them and make them my own. And so we end up being very quick to a final outcome on something because that's what all of this technology is enabling us to do 24/7.
Here's Shore's take.
So I teach in an information systems department at Boston University, and so I'm coming more from that side. And I think that overarching ethos there in the area of information systems comes from this idea that the organization is siloed, right, which causes problems, right? Typically, an organization might have internal communication within some group or team or whole division that works well, but when you start to try to cross over those silo boundaries, things start to fall apart. So a lot of technology, you know, that's supposed to encourage information sharing is trying to solve that real problem, right? And that makes sense. You know, that's something that, you know, if those boundaries are too great, can be an issue. But when you push it too far, like Ethan was saying, or make it constant, now you're reducing that independent exploration that generates that diversity. And so it's time to sort of recognize that not all problems are a problem of efficiency or breaking down silo barriers, right? Other problems require different responses.
The question is, how does this lab study translate to the real world? Bernstein says that he's starting to see some companies try to address the issue of always-on, constant collaboration, and Shore points out why questioning that dominant approach is so important.
So, you know, because this was in the lab, we don't know for sure how much working with friends or office politics or wanting to please the boss would change things. But, you know, it stands to reason that those sorts of social pressures would only make the threat of groupthink worse, right? You know, when you want to agree with your friend, you want to please the boss, right? You don't want to ruffle feathers. So when you're always exposed, you always know what all your friends and colleagues think about a certain problem, you know, you're just even more likely, yeah, I think, to adopt their approach, right? You know, and that would tend to suggest that it's even more important than than we can show in our study how important it is to sort of intermittently work alone before coming back together.
In addition, Bernstein says that defining just what intermittent means in the real world is a job for future research and for companies in their HR departments.
We see connections to Agile and the way that sprints happen on some kind of cyclical basis. Yeah. We see connections to other trends in the way in which people work on a certain kind of cyclical basis. And I don't think we've scientifically figured out exactly how long a sprint should be, but that's something organizations are experimenting with, and we think they should be experimenting with the intermittency of interaction as well.
Open plan offices and pressure to respond to tech are just two things that may complicate the idea that taking a break from collaboration is a good thing. But if companies and their workers are to keep up with the future, businesses need to start exploring these issues, say the researchers. Here's Shore.
The subtleties of how this is applied in the real world, really, that needs to be worked out. But I do think that it's not reserved only for the C-suite to sort of like creative problem solving. I think that actually does happen within teams, within whole divisions as well.
Here's Bernstein, who leaves us with some important thoughts on the future of work.
We now have this World Economic Forum report, The Future of Jobs 2018, that's just come out to say, at least by their estimates, machines and algorithms in the workplace are going to create, I think it's 133 million new roles, but cause 75 million to be displaced. So we're going to create more than we're going to lose. But my guess is that most of those roles look more like a problem-solving role, a complex problem-solving role, and less like a pure execution role. And so if that's where the workforce is going, then one of the roles of HR leaders everywhere should be to figure out how to enable that. And I think our counterintuitive, or at least countercultural message of a little less interaction rather than constantly more interaction might be helpful, at least as one step in that direction.